From Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is the local edition. I'm Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with me tonight. Coming up, it's election 2025. Radio Catskill's candidate interviews continue with a challenger in the race for Orange County Executive. Last night, we heard from incumbent Stephen Newhouse. Tonight, Patricio talks to the challenger in that race, Michael Sussman. That's coming right up. But first, to get us started, we do have news from New York State. We begin with an issue that is the main point of political contention in the ongoing shutdown of the federal government and the impact that New York's senior senator says this issue will have on his constituents. Senator Chuck Schumer held a conference call today to say Congress needs to extend tax credits under the Affordable Care Act rather than let them expire at the end of the year. And he enlisted the help of some of his constituents for the call. New Yorkers who say they stand to face financial hardships or even face having no health insurance coverage if these credits aren't extended. Jeremy Coolish was one of those constituents. Coolish says that he lost his job with the U.S. Census Bureau in May, and the Affordable Care Act marketplace helped him get coverage. But he says it was those premium tax credits that made the health insurance plan feasible for him.
Without the federal help, I would be forced to pay as much as $1,200 a month more, or nearly $15,000 a year in higher premiums.
As he called on Republicans to come back to Washington and extend the Affordable Care Act tax credits, Minority Leader Schumer said New Yorkers are staring down the barrel of a health care crisis, potentially facing thousands of dollars more in premiums.
For most New Yorkers, that's $3,000 more a year. But for people close to the retirement age who haven't yet turned 65, it's tens of thousands.
Schumer is demanding that New York House Republicans stop their vacation and end the shutdown by extending the ACA tax credits before premiums more than double for thousands of New Yorkers. This is the main sticking point in the ongoing federal government shutdown. Democrats say they won't join Republicans and vote to reopen the government until Republicans negotiate an extension of the expanded subsidies. Republicans, who hold the majority in both the House and the Senate, say they won't negotiate with Democrats on the subsidies until Democrats vote to reopen the government. And that's the latest news from New York State. We continue our candidate interviews for key local races tonight, continuing our look at the race for Orange County Executive. Michael Sussman, longtime civil rights attorney, is the challenger in the race, running as a Democrat. Incumbent County Executive Steve Newhouse, a Republican, is seeking another term. Both candidates spoke with Radio Catskill's Patricio Rubio about their records, priorities, and visions for Orange County's future. We heard from the incumbent last night. That interview is up at WJFFradio.org. Tonight, we hear from the challenger. Here's Patricio Rubio.
Michael Sussman is a longtime civil rights attorney, activist, and community advocate, and now Michael Sussman is running for the Orange County Executive. Sussman says the county needs new leadership, more transparency, and a government that puts people before politics. So today we'll talk about why he's running, how he plans to lead differently, and his vision for Orange County's future. So Michael Sussman, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you. Thanks so much.
First, let's start off. Why did you decide now is the time to challenge the incumbent and seek office for the county executive?
12 years is a long time. Mr. Newhouse has been in office for a long time. He's been very corrupted. County's not progressed in critical ways. I've been working on public law in the county for 40 years, and I feel it's time that the Democratic Party and Democratic Party values asserted themselves.
When voters look at your campaign, what are the three big changes they could expect if you win?
Well, first of all, we're going to end pay-to-play in the county. And pay-to-play has corrupted our county for many, many, many years. And it's prevented qualified people from participating in the life of the county because they don't engage in it. So that's the first thing. Institutionally, we're going to have a county controller because we have a billion-dollar budget. We have a $200 million surplus, which is the people's money laying around. We have a lot of people in our county suffering, and the government's holding their money, doing nothing constructive with it. So we need a controller. I've advocated that through this campaign, and I'd like to do that. Third, we're going to obviously redirect the IDA. The IDA is the Industrial Development Agency in our county, which has given tens of millions of dollars to major corporations that don't need it and not supported and sustained small businesses housing that's necessary in our county for young and old and others. So those are the three, I would say, main issues: fighting corruption, institutionalizing a controller, and redirecting the IDA. Now, when I say that, there are 20 things I'm going to do. You've asked about three of them, and I respect your question, so I've given you three. But there are many other very important things that need to be done, and I don't want to slight those things or act like they don't exist, but I did answer your question.
Yeah, well, go ahead a little bit, if you want to expand a little bit on some of the changes that people can expect.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, we have an agriculture sector in our county that's very important historically and current. We have many forms of agricultural activity in our county. We don't have a commissioner of agriculture. We don't have a department of agriculture. We have no focus governmentally on how we need to help agriculture. Some of that's big, very big. Dredging the Wallkill River is very big. It has to be done with the Army Corps of Engineers, with the state of New Jersey. It's a very big project, but it has to be done because without it, we have perpetual flooding. And that makes the life of farmers along the Wallkill River very insecure. We have no local beef processing or dairy processing plant, which we need to have in Orange County in order to sustain agriculture in those areas. We have farmers who tell me they have to schlep their goods 3 and 4 hours away just to process them, which makes them feasible reaching markets. So to me, agriculture sector needs to be focused on. Obviously, transportation is another huge issue. We have local transportation. For instance, in Middletown, we have a dial-a bus. The dial-a bus goes to the border of Middletown. If you're 75 years old and you need to go to a medical appointment in Goshen, what are they going to do? Leave you at the border of Middletown? Yes, that's what they're going to do because they can't go to Goshen. And this is an irrational set of systems. It's ludicrous. And we have to deal with it. We've gotten money from federal and state authorities to deal with it. We've never dealt with it. So again, we could go on and on. There are 46 toxic waste sites identified in this county, none of which have been remediated. People don't even know where they are. I know where they are. I studied them in 2016 and 17. I should have reported then about them. Nothing's happened. Obviously, we also have the tremendous issue of warehousing, which is a key issue for many, many, many people. And I've led the fight against that because I think that warehousing in our county leads to the ruination of rural communities. We don't have housing for the labor force that needs to work at warehouses. The wages there are very low. I don't want to be supporting a union-busting company that engages in the most outrageous OSHA violations in the country, which is Amazon. And again, as I say, we could go on and on and on. But for me, it's a thoroughgoing revision of business as usual in this county. And I don't think it's radical in any way, because I think everything that I advocate is commonsensical and ought to have long since been done. Having appropriate transportation is not radical.
Like I said at the beginning, you spent decades as a civil rights lawyer and still are an advocate. How will those experiences translate into your governing the county?
Well, we've had an old boys network here governing the county, and that's been very true for 60 years, 40 of which I've been here and watched it. And I don't believe in that. I don't believe in it. I believe that people from every background, people of every group, whatever their sexual orientation, whatever their gender, whatever their race, whatever their national origin, whatever their disability status, whatever their age, have to participate in government. I'm not interested in a government for the few. I'm interested in an inclusive government which brings the ideas that people have to the fore. That's the principal way it will contribute. I'm not interested in a lack of transparency because I'm hiding things. I'm interested in the opposite. I want to know what you think we should do about a problem. I may not agree with you. That's a different issue. But if I don't even know what you think, I can't take your contribution for better or worse. So to me, the idea that government is the bastion of a few is totally antithetical to my philosophy. I couldn't disagree more. So I think that participation in local elections is horrible. Having 30% of people participate and choose leaders is awful. And I would make very strident moves as county executive, go into the high school, speak to the students, get them registered, make sure people understand that it's our government. Can't be your government if you're just going to watch and complain. So that's probably one insight that I get. The other is I know what's wrong with these institutions because I sue them all the time. I know the lack of opportunity that's been accorded many people because I've represented them against the very individuals and county that I'd like to govern. Whether it's the planning commissioner who I've had to sue for gender bias, whether it's the sheriff I've had to repeatedly sue for sexual harassment or gender bias. I know these departments, I know these agencies, and I know that often leadership is not doing what it needs to do to protect the rights of workers. The other thing that will translate is my support for unions. My wife's been a union president, a major union for 30 years. She's in a male-dominated union, lighting. She's a master electrician and was the first, the second woman to light major rock and roll in the United States. And, you know, she's been the leader of that union in this region. And, you know, from my point of view, workers in Amazon, workers in our healthcare industry need to be unionized. They're not well represented without unions. I see a Medline, which is a huge facility in our county. We've given millions and millions of dollars to subsidize it. Now Montgomery IDA is subsidizing it. Non-union, anti-union. I don't believe in that. I think that workers need to be strongly represented. And as county executive, I'm going to speak to that. I also believe that the commitments that have been made to our own county workers have to be kept. For instance, there was a pay equity study that was supposed to be done as part of the February 2024 negotiation, contract negotiation. I met with the leadership of the union a year and a half later. They told me there's no pay equity study that's been produced to them. Where the hell is it? So, you know, we talk about seniors and my concerns and advocacy for seniors. I mean, I prevented the closing of Valley View 12 years ago. Since then, Valley View has been running to the ground, frankly, by the county. It's approved certificate of need census should be 360 people. It has 213 people there now. Less than two-thirds of the number that could be there. Why? Well, we can't staff it. Why can't we staff it? We're not paying salaries to nurses that are commensurate with the market to bears. So we can't hire people to actually staff the facility. That's just, and that's with a $200 million surplus. So to me, all of this is outrageous. It's not, and people say, why are you angry? Well, maybe because I know too much.
You mentioned the warehouses and you know say you have been critical of the current administration for supporting big warehouses and large subsidies and no bid contract. What is your plan, if you want to go further into that, what is your plan to stop that and to ensure accountability?
Well, number one, I'm not going to have my IDA give them any kinds of subsidies. That's not happening. I don't need Amazon, one of the five largest corporations in the world, to come to Orange County and tell my people here, I need $106 million from you to come here. We know damn well you want to come here. So find an appropriate site in Orange County. I'm not saying they can't come to Orange County. There may be sites in Orange County that are perfectly appropriate for them. In my town, the town of Chester, for example, we have an industrial park. I've supported the industrial park. I don't believe because there's a warehouse, the industrial park, there's something wrong with that. That's okay, but have appropriate sites. An appropriate site is not in the middle of a rural community where you're going to clog up roads. There's no infrastructure for it. It's right near CPV, which already is a very air-polluting entity. You're going to create tremendous fossil fuel demand as well as tremendous diesel emissions and pollution. It's not an appropriate site. So I will work with business to ensure that there are locations in the county they can actually reasonably located. You know, Camp LaGuardia is a big issue in our county, and it's a very typical issue. And I'll tell you what happened briefly at Camp LaGuardia. County spent money, a lot of money, buying Camp LaGuardia from New York City. It had been basically a shelter, not a homeless shelter, but a shelter for alcoholics and drug addicted individuals that the city had run since the 30s. It's over 230 acres. It's a very large parcel. Well, understandably, the neighbors were concerned about the populace. People would wander around the streets of Chester and Blooming Grove, and people were afraid of them. Rightly or wrongly, they were afraid of them. So the governments of those communities wanted it closed. They pressured New York City. New York City closed it and sold it to Orange County. Now, 12 years later, Steve Newhouse, during his entire term in office, he's owned Camp LaGuardia. What's happened to it? Nothing. Well, why not? It's a major parcel, and I'll tell you why not. The first time they did an RFP, a Jewish developer was the low bidder. Steve Newhouse blocked him from using the site. Why? Because he was Jewish, and he didn't want Curious Joel extended. Okay? I mean, to me, that's a bunch of nonsense. Absolute nonsense. There's an RFP. If someone is the low bidder, they're the low bidder. And the individual's bid should have been respected, and the person should have developed the site. Well, the excuse was Chester and Blooming Grove didn't want it. Okay, Chester and Blooming Grove didn't want it. So they have a veto power over this use of the county site. Okay, so the next RFP is developed. Steve Newhouse comes out and says, this is a great site for all sorts of multi-uses, industrial, residential, mixed use. Okay, wonderful. Nothing ever comes of it. It's still sitting there. Now he says, 2 months before the election, let's make a huge park there. Parks are like, you know, apple pie and motherhood. Who can ever oppose a park? Let's have parks everywhere. Well, what about the young people who need housing in our county? What about a site for some limited warehousing? It's an isolated site, relatively. You can do a lot of things there. The point is, you need a leader who's going to speak the truth to the public. And the truth to the public is we need housing for our young and our old. We have, I'm the old, okay? I'll be 72 in December. I'm an old man already. I have my energy and my faculties, but I'm old, okay? If I want to sell my house and stay in Orange County, where am I going? There's a shortage of housing for people like me, and therefore too many people stay in their houses because they have nowhere else they can go in the county that's comfortable to relocate. That's not to say there's nowhere. There's not enough of that supply. So the government has to help in these areas, and we haven't had that. We've had a very laissez-faire, Republican, hands-off approach to things. I don't believe in that. I believe government has a role.
You know, your opponent touts that tax cuts and fiscal discipline is what he's known for, and why isn't that enough? And how will your...
Well, it's not true. First of all, it's not true. It's a lie. Right. So I'll tell you the truth. The New York State Comptroller every year looks at the county's effective property tax rates. That's the property tax rates, the percentage on 1,000 that every county charges its residents. Orange County has had the highest effective property tax rate every year. In 23, Westchester County was 1.51 on 1,000. Orange County was 2.34, which is almost 60% more. So when he talks about fiscal responsibility, in my opinion, it's nonsense. The other thing is, when you raid Valley View's monies, Valley View provides services for the elderly and those who are disabled. So they get a great deal of Medicare and Medicaid reimbursements. Rather than plowing the money back into making Valley View, as I explained earlier, a facility that meets its CON of 360, as I said before, we have 213 people there now. What he does is he takes that money and puts it in the surplus. So you can do a lot of things, games. I'm an economics major from the University of Chicago. I understand this sort of thing. Okay, I get it. But no, I don't think we're in such great shape. If what you're looking at is comparators with the other counties, our property effective property tax rate is far too high. And the use of the money that's been surplused. The use of the money has been negligible, not for the public interest. Government is not a bank. We're not here to take your money and put it in some account. That's not our purpose. Your money should be in your own bank account. Do what you want with it. So I don't think that's good stewardship. No, it's not enough.
Some may say that you're inexperienced in county level executive operations compared to, let's say, Stephen Newhouse, the sitting incumbent. How would you address that gap of a baby of perceived inexperience at running government at a county level?
Well, first of all, it's accurate. Steve Newhouse is an incumbent for 12 years, and Michael Sussman has been running his own business for 40 years. So you have to think about what I know and what he knows. I believe I know how the private sector works. I believe I know what we expect government to do. Because I'm a person who's been a constituent. I've been an elected official. I was on a town board. I was a deputy supervisor. I have some ideas about government. And from my long experience suing governments, I have very clear ideas about how governments work and don't work. So sometimes an outsider who has interfaced with institutions understands those institutions as I do well. The other part of it, it's not that complicated. I'm a Harvard-trained lawyer. It's not that complicated. In other words, we have a number of executive departments. We have people who are supposed to be leading those departments. If Steve Newhouse was such a great manager, he'd already have, after two plus years, a commissioner of health, wouldn't he? We don't have a commissioner of health in Orange County. Why not? He hasn't put one in. If you look through the want ads, you'll see ads for a number of commissioners in Orange County. Where are they? Steve Newhouse had a chance to appoint someone in the height of the debate about congestion pricing. And again, people have different views on congestion pricing. Okay. I think it's a regressive tax. Okay? There's a purpose for it, but it's also regressive. In the height of the debate, Steve Newhouse had the chance for 3 years to appoint someone from our county to the NTA board. He never forwarded a nominee. So if he knows so much about government and he's so good at managing government, you wonder, why are our departments without people running them? Why did that seat go unfulfilled? Why is he proposing to take over Stewart Airport? Steve Newhouse can't run the Orange County Airport. I represented the major tenant in the Orange County Airport, Take Flight Aviation. And the head of Take Flight Aviation brought to my attention and showed us photographs that his office at the Orange County Airport is flooded because the roof has not been fixed in 40 years. And you know what the county told me? We'll get to it in 3 to 5 years. This is the same gentleman who wants to take over Stewart Airport. So, you know, to my way of thinking, he hasn't distinguished himself, which isn't to say he, like everyone else, doesn't have some strengths. But that's the question of people having to balance them. I think I would bring many more ideas, much more creativity, and much more understanding of what people are going through than he is. And, you know, people have to make a decision after 12 years. Is that enough time to get done whatever you have to get done? The only new idea I've heard in this campaign from him is he wants the Port Authority to cede him Stewart Airfield, which will never happen. It's just impossible. What else? Camp LaGuardia's been on the table 12 years, as I said a few minutes ago. Now he has the great idea to make it into a park, which is simply done to curry public favor because many people in the neighborhood don't want development there. I wouldn't succumb to that NIMBYism. I don't agree. It's a very major resource that has to be properly developed. And he supported properly developing it before. But now in election season, he doesn't have the courage of his convictions, and he backs down and says, let's make it a park. That's not leadership. It's capitulation.
Well, Mr. Sussman, you know, when the voters come to the polls on November 4th, why should they vote for you? And you said a lot already, but why should they vote for you over your opponent?
Well, I think we need vibrant two-party government in America. I think we need right now an advocate in Orange County who's prepared to stand up to Donald Trump and Donald Trump's excesses. I think that the threat to our democracy has never been stronger. I'm that advocate. I've been standing up against regressive policies, whatever political party, for 40 years or more. I have a long track record of successfully advocating for people in need, whatever their need, whether they be disabled children who hadn't been getting in Orange County under Steve Newhouse and his predecessor, proper education, as the county is responsible for under the Individuals with Disabilities and Education Act. I was their champion. I stood up. I got them programming that they were being denied. When it came to redistricting in Orange County in 2010 and 11, and minorities were being shut out, I had to go to federal court and got them fair districting. And on and on and on. When it came to a landfill that had to be stopped in Orange County, it was being built on our principal river with no proper permits, I had to intervene and stop it. When it came to people wanting to demolish the government center and build a whole new one from scratch and hundreds of millions of dollars, I stepped in with other community activists and stopped it. And we now have a hybrid approach which saved the structure and was much more efficient and effective. So I have a long record that people in our county who follow things know about. It goes back way before Steve Newhouse was in elementary school. And I'm proud of that record. And I think the people who know of that record and know of my integrity understand what it's about. Now, I know that Steve Newhouse has gone into the gutter. I've been talking to reporters and they tell me what he's saying. He's making up a lot of lies. And I'm happy to address those all and any of them. In 2002, after I first ran for county executive, the grievance committee filed a grievance against me. And the grievance was that I used my operating account in my law firm to pay people directly, and I didn't put settlement checks in the escrow account. You're supposed to put settlement checks in the escrow account. So the question was raised, did he take any money? Did he do anything wrong with the money? No. Everybody got exactly the penny they were supposed to get, but he paid them out of their wrong account. Okay. Yonkers, who I had been suing for by then about 20 years for their racist policies and had won courts all over the country, et cetera, et cetera. They spent $75,000 to try to get me disbarred. I have the paperwork that proves that they hired a law firm to try to get me disbarred for this technical violation. The grievance committee gave me a 1-year suspension, which I took. And I said publicly, if you commit a technical violation, your punishment is up to those who are in authority, not up to me. And I'll promote concerts and practice law in other ways. I won't be a lawyer for that year. Steve Newhouse has dug that up and claims I stole money. I stole no money. Absolutely not. The referee who heard the case said Michael Sussman took nothing and shouldn't even be punished. He has an exemplary record in an area of civil rights law that very few lawyers do. So am I proud of it? I made a technical error and I agreed to it and I was punished for it. Fine. That's 24 years ago. Steve Newhouse has lied and said some stuff about taxes. I have no idea what he's talking about. I paid hundreds of thousands of dollars on taxes. I have seven children. They're all well-educated. They're all doing well in this world. I have a wonderful wife. I don't need to do this. I'm doing it because I believe I can better serve the people. And I believe that we need an end to corruption. And I believe we need two parties that are vibrant and functioning in this county. And it's really very simple. I don't have a bunch of cronies who I'm interested in putting into positions and rewarding. I take no money from corporations or LLCs. I self-fund or take 500 people who've contributed to my campaign. Fine. But I didn't ask anybody in power, anybody in any influential positions for money. People should understand all these things when they go to vote. And they should make a determination of whether they want the good old boys network in this county to continue in authority or whether they want to open the county up to a whole group of people. And I think my wife would be an unbelievable asset to this county. She's just had a bilateral mastectomy in 2025. She's out raising money for cancer. We were walking this weekend at Woodbury Commons. Of 290 groups raising money, my wife's group is the fifth in the whole county, which I'm very proud of. She's incredibly energetic. She's a tremendous proponent of the arts. She'll be deeply involved in my administration. She's a tremendous supporter of labor and of women's rights. And I think we need new energy. And even though I'm old, I have the energy. So that's really what the people are going to have to decide. And I will accept the decision. I believe people, more people, I hope, vote. We need people participating. Whatever their decision is, I'm here and I'll continue to be here.
Well, thank you so much. We're talking to Michael Sussman, a longtime civil rights attorney who's now running for Orange County Executive. Thank you so much for doing this and do really appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Patricio. It's Patricio Rubio talking to candidate for Orange County Executive Michael Sussman. We should note that Sussman and Associates Attorney at Law has made financial contributions to Radio Catskill. Last night on the local edition, Patricio spoke with Republican Stephen Newhouse, the incumbent Orange County executive, who Michael Sussman is challenging. You can see the video version of both of these candidates' interviews on Radio Catskill's YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube, search Radio Catskill, subscribe to our channel, ring the bell, watch it, like, and share all of Radio Catskill's videos. This is a fast and easy way that you can help this radio station out. You can help us grow and thrive just by finding and subscribing Radio Catskill on YouTube. And all of Radio Catskill's election coverage, including candidate interviews, interviews with local boards of elections, and more, it's all up at WJFFradio.org on our Election 2025 webpage. Again, WJFFradio.org/Election2025. Well, that's it for the local edition tonight. I'm Jason Dole. Thank you for being here with me. Patricio will be here with you tomorrow night at 6 for more local edition. Oh, and I have one more little news item. This is somewhat breaking news. You might have heard me on the radio talking about what's happening over at the Roscoe O&W Railway Museum this month. They're doing haunted afternoons every weekend in October. They've been doing that. They've got some scary decorations up at the Railway Museum there in Roscoe. Well, this Saturday at 3 o'clock, I will be there leading a conversation with Town of Rockland historian Joyce Conroy. We'll be talking about potentially haunted sites in Roscoe, part of the haunted theme at the Haunted Afternoons at the Roscoe O&W Railway Museum. And I'll probably share some of my memories of growing up in Roscoe, New York. I'll be recording it for the radio here, but you can also see it in person. That's happening Saturday afternoon at 3 in Roscoe. And of course, on Sunday, don't forget, it is Pints for Public Radio. Once again, you can buy me a beer if you like at Wampaw Pack Brewing Company, Sunday afternoon going from noon to 4. All the info is at WJFFradio.org. Coming up at 7, we've got Andy Carlson in for Claire on Ramble Tamble. But first, it's more news from The Daily. This is Radio Catskill.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Calicoon Theater, an updated vintage movie theater with new releases, film festivals, nostalgic screenings, live music events, and more. Information and schedule at thecalicoontheater.com.
WJFF Jeffersonville. This is Radio Catskill.